Hi-ho, this is Kermit the Frog here, and you're listening to the Two Blind Squirrels Podcast. How was that? Did you like that? Is that okay? Yeah, I guess they eat nuts or something. All right, bye.
Oh, yes. I'm psyched. I'm ready. I'm pumped. I'm jazzed up. I'm hip. I don't know if I'm hip. It's more of a.
It's more like broke a hip.
Ha. That's not funny. My grandmother fell down last night.
Oh, really?
On her hip, but she didn't break it. She only sprained some muscles.
She lives pretty close to you now, though, doesn't she?
She's always lived close to me.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes, she's in a nursing home right now.
I only learned that because you checked in someplace.
Yes, I checked in at Rock Creek Rehab Center, a rehab and health center, which is a nursing home.
Yes. See, I don't check into places because I don't want people to find me.
That's right.
My sister once checked in at her apartment. She's like, I'm home now. And like gave her exact coordinates for where she lived.
There you go.
And so I told her, you probably should not ever do that again. I don't think she has, but then again, I tend to not read her Facebook posts.
I check in at home occasionally, especially on Foursquare.
Yes. Well, are you the mayor of your own house then?
I am.
Good.
I'm the mayor of my house, First Baptist Church, Shannon Oaks Church. probably not First Baptist anymore. It's been a while since I've been there. Well, did you have a good week?
Did I have a good week?
Let's see. Let me start over. I'll start over. Okay.
Okay.
Hold on. Uh-huh. Did you have a good week?
I don't know. I'm thinking. Totally unprepared for the show right now.
Hey!
Buford?
Hey there, kids.
How you doing, Buford?
Hey, man. How's it going?
I'm doing pretty good. How about yourself?
I'm doing all right. I'm doing all right, but my, Brad's grandmother, not doing too well.
Oh, really?
No. She was staying with my aunts, my great aunt. I had two great aunts that lived together, and she was staying with them.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, what happened?
Well, she's not, Meemaw, she's not all with it, right. I mean, she's not all, and she'd run herself a bath.
Right.
But she could, and she yelled down, to my two aunts. She says, I run myself a bath, but I can't remember if I'm getting in or out. So one of the other aunts that was there, my youngest aunt, Aunt Floofy, she said, I'll go up there and check, And, mm-hmm. She gets about halfway up the stairs, and she yells down to my other aunt, Aunt Jo, and she says, Joe, I'm on the stairs. I'm halfway up. I can't remember if I'm going up or down.
Uh-oh. This isn't going well for them, is it?
No, Joe just laughed. She says, if I act like you do when I get your age, man, I hope they put me away or something. Knock on wood, And she says, I'll come up there and help you just as soon as I see who's at the door.
There was no one at the door, was there?
The knock on wood. Did you miss that part? That was the joke, Kidge.
Oh.
That was the whole point of the show, that was the whole point of me coming in here, was to do the little knock on wood thing.
I'm so sorry. I feel like such a failure now.
You're not prepared for this show, are you, Kidge? It didn't sound like mentally you're just with it. Did you have a big fight with the Swifty or something?
No.
Y'all getting one of them newlywed, tussles before you came on the show?
No.
No?
No.
Well, something got you off kilter, boy.
Oh, I don't know. It's been a long day, I guess. It's been a very boring day.
Been a long, boring day.
Yes. Not much to do.
Sorry about that. I'm sorry Swifty's mad at you, too.
She's not mad at me.
She's not? She should be. She probably just doesn't know all the things she did. I always knew, when I come home, and if my girlfriend, Beulah, my girlfriend, Beulah.
You have a girlfriend?
I used to. Beulah.
Oh, you used to?
Yeah. Yeah, Beulah.
What happened?
Well, God rest her soul, she left me, and,
For who?
For nobody, she just left.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, I don't. Never saw her again after that day. That was a bad day.
I'm sorry to hear that, Buford.
But I always knew when I come home, you know, if she was smiling at me, I knew she knew something. You know, I knew she was on to me. So, you know, but those were the good old days, you know.
Good old days of her smiling at you because she knew you had done something wrong?
No, just being able to come home to something besides goats. You know, those are the good old days.
That's true.
Treasure these days there, Gidge.
I didn't have to leave home past 2 days.
You didn't have to leave home?
No, I was able to work from home.
You was grounded?
No. I just didn't have a reason to leave. I worked from home.
I don't need a reason to leave. I have to have a reason to stay.
Yeah, that's interesting. I have to have a reason to leave.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're pasty, aren't you?
I am.
I bet you are.
Yep. I wear white shirts so that whenever I take off my shirt, you can't tell that I'm not wearing a shirt anymore.
You got a house now?
I do.
Brad,
I do have a house.
You bought a house.
Yes, I bought a house like 2 years ago now.
You mow your own yard.
I haven't in the past 2 weeks, but yes. You know, I've got a weed problem. Do you think you could take care of that for me?
If you'd mow your yard, you wouldn't have a weed problem.
Well, I do every weekend.
Let me tell you, you said it's been 2 weeks.
Well, I haven't been able to this past weekend, no.
Well, let me tell you what I know about weeds, you see.
Tell me.
See, grass will grow.
Yes.
And even if you mow it, as long as you don't mow it all the way down to the dirt.
Right.
It likes it. It likes to be cut. Grass mm-hmm. likes to be cut. It likes to be eaten by goats and stuff
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, right.
It's good for it.
Right.
And but weeds don't. They can't survive without that little head on them.
Mm.
So the more you mow, the more your weeds will die. So if you got like a lot of weed problems, then you need to mow twice a week. Or even better than that, get yourself a couple of goats. I can loan you. I rent goats out to people.
Do you?
That have weed problems. And just for you, though, I'll loan you a couple of goats. I'll bring them over here in just a little while. Let me go load up a couple of my good ones. I'll be right there.
Okay. Fantastic.
What'd you do, Kidge?
He's going to go get me some goats to help me with my weed problem in my lawn.
Kidge, what did you do? Kidge?
What?
You might want to check out your neighborhood agreement there.
That's all right. I don't like any of these people anyway.
I'm sure they don't look fondly on goats in your front yard.
Well, they don't look kindly on my weeds either.
Okay.
So,
all right.
One way or another.
Hey, you entered into some kind of shady business with Buford, and you get what's coming. You deserve what's coming to you. That's all I got to say about it.
That's true.
Wow. Okay. Well,
anyway.
Did you finish reading the books that we were talking about last week?
I did.
Yeah, the Hungry Games?
Hungry Games. Hungry Man Games.
Did you win?
Yeah, I won.
Good.
I did. Want to know how I won?
How'd you win?
I decided I hated him.
Oh.
Yeah.
Why did you decide to hate him?
Because the ending was just completely... felt a little rushed and very blasé.
Blasé?
Mm.
What do you mean blasé?
Well, should we talk about spoilers or should we not?
Oh, that's a toughie, you know, because I want to discuss it. And then there's certain things you can't talk about because it ruins the book. So we shouldn't talk about it. We shouldn't talk about it.
Well, the next topic then.
But you were just saying you were disappointed.
Yeah.
Even with the surprises, because there was a couple of surprises. And you were saying they just didn't do it for you? I thought it was very action-packed. I thought it was very fast-paced.
It was very action-packed and that sort of stuff. But you were absolutely right last week about how she doesn't really react to certain things that happen, like, hey, this thing happens, and you know the reader is entirely broken up about it, but she's not.
She stayed when the one thing happened. She stayed in bed for like 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's true. But she almost stayed in bed for like.
But it didn't feel. With you in that the problem with that is that she didn't go into great detail about how she was broken up.
Yeah.
She was just asleep, and you could tell she was asleep emotionally and she was asleep physically.
Oh yeah.
And she was doing these drugs, but because you're only seeing the story through her eyes, and she's not a very, I didn't think she was a very developed character. That was my problem with the entire book, is that she was not a developed character. She didn't have an internal moral compass. She didn't have an internal moral dialogue. There was very little internal dialogue at all, except for, and there was no maturity there was no growth, maturity level in her from the beginning to the end.
Yeah.
Or very little, if there was at all.
Yeah. You know, I think talking to you about it last week kind of ruined the end of it for me, because you had pointed out these things that never bugged me, and I was like, you know what, he's absolutely right.
I'm sorry, I don't like ruining books for people. I enjoyed the end of the book. I thought the last book was the best of the three, and I enjoyed the fast-pacedness. I liked the action. I liked the surprises, you know. I mean, by time I was just, I guess I was just used to the sort of the dumbed downness of the book. But I mean, it wasn't written for me and you kids. It was written for 13-year-old girls. So
that's true. That's true.
You got to keep that in mind.
Yeah, it's just, you know, the big final big surprise thing.
Yeah.
You know, there was the one big thing that you kind of feel just as emotionally numb as she does, you know, at the end. You know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
And you're like, you're entirely heartbroken and all that sort of stuff. But then the next big surprise that happens after that, I was reading it so quickly. Just I don't know why, because I was in an adrenaline-fueled reading
trying
state.
To get through the end of it. Yeah, you're getting towards the end. And
that I misread the name.
I did, too. I did the exact same thing.
And so I read the next three pages, and I was like,
wait a minute.
Why is she on? Why is this going?
Yeah, exactly. I had to go back and read.
I saw that coming, though.
Well, I hoped that was coming, but the way it happened, there was no build-up. There was no it was just... Mm-hmm. And if you miss that name, because you're expecting to see the different name, and then it's, I did the exact same thing you did. I had to stop and go, wait a minute, what just happened?
Yep.
So, but I kind of liked that about the book, that it snuck up on you and did those things. And, you know, I don't know, whatever. I'm glad that I'm done with them, and I'm glad I've moved on to more mature things. I'm actually reading another book for teens called Do Hard Things.
Interesting. I think I've heard of this.
It's written by two brothers, Brett and Alex.
Baldwin.
What?
How many Baldwins are there?
No, they're not Baldwins.
Bound to be one of them.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't a Baldwin. It was. where was that at? Here, I'll look it up anyway. I forgot their last name. Harris. That's it.
Okay.
Yeah. And so they're a couple of teens. I don't know if they're still teens, because I don't remember when the book was written, but when they wrote the book, they were teenagers. And it's called Do Hard Things, A Rebellion Against Low Expectations.
Nice.
And it's like, you know, they go and they tell these stories about these people through history. Some of them, some of them very recent, some of them older. Who were teenagers and did great and did really hard things, did great things, you know, did things. And then now it just seems like, you know, we don't expect anything of our teenagers. We don't expect them to really, we wouldn't expect them to do these kinds of things. You know, some of them were soldiers that did things. Some of them were just people. And even these guys, you know, when we just set out to write a book, nobody took us seriously, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, so it's a challenge. It's basically that's all it is. The entire book is just a challenge to teenagers to rebel against the low expectations placed on them, and to challenge themselves to do the hard things that are set before them by God in their life. It's a Christian book.
Cool.
And it's very good. And I've given it to I gave it to one kid at when I got through reading. I gave it to a kid at school that goes to our school. So the leader. Uh-huh. And he read it, and he's like, "This is awesome! I'm going to do this thing, and I'm going to do this thing, and here's how I'm going to do it, and I'm going to set these goals, and I want y'all to keep me accountable." And then he gave the book to somebody else, and they're reading it. So,
nice.
So yeah, it's a little move, a little mini movement going on over here.
Fantastic. How about that?
How about that?
I'm kind of in a reading mood myself. My Not this next Saturday, but the next Saturday. We had talked about the movie Courageous, right?
Yes.
Yes, I remember we had done so. And you saw it.
I did.
Yes. So you know how they signed their whole resolution thing?
I did.
Yeah, I'm going to be doing that, not this Saturday, but next Saturday.
Oh, but you don't have any kids.
No, not yet.
Oh, okay. Well, good.
But you're going to decide ahead of time. I have a wife.
You're going to decide ahead of time. That's awesome.
Exactly. So, yep, I'm having it all set up so that my dad will officiate for me, and I'm going to sign the whole declaration in front of my parents, my in-laws, my wife, and a couple of our friends, and just a small little thing.
That's awesome, and, Kitch.
And so to prepare for that,
yes.
My dad had bought me a copy of the Resolution for Men book. So I've started reading that when I finished The Hunger Games.
Cool.
Not too far into it, but it's exciting.
That is exciting.
Talk about hard things.
Hard to read that book or just hard to make those commitments?
It's one of those sorts of things where, you know, for someone who has been raised in this sort of culture and society of you know, don't worry, someone else will take care of it, yes. sort of thing. Uh-huh. It's hard to read it and be like, by the end of this, I'm going to be making a commitment to not have someone else deal with it. So just in the bigger picture, it's very exciting.
And just keep in mind whenever somebody says, this is my advice. It's a way easier to make the commitment than it is to keep the commitment.
Yes.
Because the devil doesn't attack you when you're all excited about the commitment.
Yes.
He attacks you when you could care less about it.
Exactly.
So just keep that in mind.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Well, I'm excited for that about you.
And, me too.
And preparing to be in dadhood. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, when we joined this new church, there was we didn't really understand what God was doing, because part of, you know, mine and Faith's ministry has always been to do a parenting class. It's Growing Kids God's Way, and we've done it 12 years, and we enjoy doing it. We feel like that the Lord has really blessed it with the different parents and everything. In fact, we showed up at a restaurant after church one day, and some people, and we were there just to eat by ourselves, and some said, "Oh, come join us over here at this table." So we went and sat down at this table, and we were with a bunch of other people who we knew and had gone to the two different churches and everything. And I looked around, and I think there were eight couples at this table besides us.
Uh-huh.
And they had all of them had taken Grow Kids, and all but one had taken it from us. And it was just wow, nice. You know. And all the kids were sitting down at the end of the table, minding their P's and Q's. You know, it was,
there you go. You
know, all the kids were down there, just they were actually sitting at a separate table and enjoying themselves and behaving themselves. It was wonderful.
Nice.
But anyway, so when we joined this church, this new church, the pastor of this church was anti-Grow Kids. He was just very against it. Just, you know.
Why?
Well, he has personal issues with the Ezos. He doesn't know the Ezos, but he thinks he has personal issues with the Ezos.
Okay.
And he had written his own parenting book with somebody else that was based on attachment parenting. Which is attachment parenting is parenting by your relationship. So it's more geared towards, let me put it in the way it puts it, that it parents by love. So it comes at it from a different, I wouldn't say that Growing Kids God's Way does not parent in love, okay?
Right.
But I'm just saying that their description of their own, of detach, I don't want to say anything bad about it, because focus on the family, supports this kind of parent, this kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
And they're very negative towards Grow Kids God's Way, but I'm not going to be negative towards them, okay?
Sure.
Because I don't think I think what they teach is not necessarily wrong. It's just, I think, not as... I like principled. The Grow Kids God's Way is principled.
Mm-hmm.
You learn the principles and you go with the principles, but you have to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit for it to work. It's sort of like the Constitution.
Yeah.
The Constitution was written for Christians. This form of government, everybody said, this won't work unless everybody has a Christian ethic. Well, that's sort of the way Grow Kids is. Grow Kids won't work unless you have a good relationship with the Lord and have a good prayer life. And, you know, and it's just the way it's set up. Well, attachment parenting comes at it from a different angle, and it just comes at it from love. It teaches sort of love. So it teaches the Christian ethic of love at the same time it's teaching you to parent, and it wants you to parent using that ethic. And I think that gets muddled sometimes between the ages. I think it's hard to with attachment parenting, it just approaches everything completely differently, and it's I would call it a hippie approach.
Fair enough.
It's not. I think its shortfall is that the child doesn't always know how the parent is going to respond. because each situation, you're supposed to approach each situation with love, in a way, and respond to the situation in love. And sometimes that is a punishment, but a lot of times that's grace and mercy. And Grow Kids has grace and mercy.
Mm-hmm.
But you also have these principles, and if you're called to this expectation of first time obedience, and if you tell your child to do something and they don't do it, then there's going to be a consequence to that, and it's sort of its principle. Now it does allow for grace and mercy,
sure,
but only within the context of in other words, your kid comes home every day from school. And you've told your child, don't ever leave your bike in the driveway. Always put it in the backyard. And they always do that. They always put their bike away. And then mm-hmm. you come home from work one day and the bike's in the driveway.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you don't go in and spank your child. That's
right.
You come in and you say, you need to put your bike away.
Mm-hmm.
And you left it in the driveway. You're not characterized by this. So, there's not going to be punishment. Just go get it, put it away, and don't do it again.
Right.
Well, then the next day you come home and it's in the driveway. Well, now there's a consequence, but it's not spanking. It's take. Now you lose. You don't get to ride your bike for the rest of the week.
Sure. Okay. Yeah.
So it's related consequences, and there's all these different steps you go through. So there's, there's warning, there's related consequence. Then and then ultimately you get down to the last possible thing, which is actual punishment, which would be
sure.
spanking or something like that.
Right.
With attachment parenting, you parent by your relationship, and so you are assuming you have, you're always trying to keep this love relationship with your child, and you use mm-hmm. that love sort of as a, they don't look at it this way, but I can't get around looking at it as leverage.
I'll say it. This attachment parenting sounds soft, and it makes, I would imagine it makes the child feel like they're the all-important deity in the house. The alpha dog of the pack sort of thing.
I think it can be that way. I think it can definitely be abused mm-hmm. that way. But Grow Kids can be abused too.
Sure.
Yeah, anyway. So I just think that it puts the emphasis on the relationship between the parent and child. So,
yes.
It puts that emphasis there. You let me down. You disappointed me by doing this. Whereas Grow Kids doesn't do that. Grow Kids puts the emphasis on there's a consequence for your action. I love you, but you're still going to have a consequence for this action.
That makes sense.
So it's just a different approach, and I'm not saying anyone's right or wrong. Of course, I favor one because that's it's what worked.
Right.
It's what worked for me, and it's what I've taught and what worked for me. So anyway, the point is he did not like the other one. He liked this one. And there was no way for us to teach it because then we would not be no accountability. I don't want to ever go out on the ministry without having accountability.
Right.
And so, like with our school, we have accountability in our parents are we're accountable to the parents first and foremost. We're also accountable to the pastor of the church that we're in.
Sure.
And with Grow Kids, we've always taught under the accountability of a minister. And so when we went to this church, it just didn't fit. It's like, it's not fitting. What? I don't guess we're going to teach Grow Kids anymore. I guess God's telling us we're not going to teach Grow Kids anymore. Well, the pastor resigned 2 weeks ago. And so we went on Sunday.
Uh-huh.
We got invited to lunch by, there's three main shepherds at this church. They call themselves shepherds, but they're like the three main deacons, the three,
sure.
three elders, you'd say.
Yeah, right.
So they, one of them invited us to lunch,
mm-hmm.
and we went with him. And he said, "Listen, I've talked to the other deacons, and we're very excited. What do y'all need or to want to teach Grow Kids this fall?"
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, "Well, the pastor didn't support it, so we didn't think we were going to do it." And he's, and he's like, "No, we're very excited. We're so excited that y'all are coming to do this." So. It was just very good. It was an incredible confirmation that we had made the right decision, and we were that God knows what He's doing. So
He tends to.
He tends to. Yeah.
Speaking of which,
yeah,
we had to go back to the doctor's office yesterday for Swifty.
Bad thing because it's hurting again.
Yeah. By the way, before I keep talking, is our Skype connection freaking out?
No.
Okay, because you sound kind of weird. I don't know if my headphones are dying or what.
I'm just weird.
Sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, the infection started coming back, and it started scaring her, so we went back to the doctor, and, she's starting to expect, okay, well, what if it's something even more serious, and that, a week full of antibiotics couldn't solve this, What could possibly be wrong? Is there, another issue that I'm having? And the doctor checks her out and like, oh, no, it's just, this happens all the time. This is very common. We'll just put you on a slightly stronger antibiotic and you'll be fine. And we're like, oh, okay, that's awesome. And so we're also expecting, hey, we're uninsured. How about like a $500-$600 doctor's bill? And they're like, okay, well, since you're uninsured and paying cash, how about it be $140?
Oh.
Like, okay, sure, not a problem. So,
did he give you the samples of the antibiotics too, or did you have to go pay for those?
$4 paid for them.
Yo, awesome.
Yeah, God's just super good. Awesome. Super good.
Super good.
Uh huh. Haven't gotten any doctor's bills from the hospital yet, but we'll see.
Great. Well, uh-huh. That's good. Is she feeling? When was that? Yesterday.
Yeah, that was yesterday.
So she's
feeling a little bit better today. She was feeling kind of cruddy this morning, but she's gotten a lot better today.
Good.
Since the day's gone on. She started moving furniture around so she can start painting the kitchen too. So, yeah, I think she's doing better.
This is a brand new house. Why are you painting the kitchen?
Because the paint they put on our walls is really cruddy. Like, you can brush up against it with jeans on and the wall becomes blue.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Is it something about your walls or your jeans?
Well, it says something about how crappy the paint is. So
you're going to repaint it. Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. Plus, increase the house value.
There you go. Fresh coat of paint. Those weeds won't help.
Nope.
Well, so did you go see the movie Hunger Games?
Yeah, we talked about that.
Oh, you saw that before you read the book.
Yeah. But then we saw it again after, the next night, I think, after we talked. And we decided that, after having read the first and the second book at that point, and we were like, because they portrayed Katniss pretty well in the movie where she's just a black hole of emotion.
Yeah.
She has more emotions than Bella from the Twilight series, though.
Okay.
Which, Bella from the Twilight series just looks like she's high all the time.
Never saw that one.
That's okay. That is A-okay.
Okay, I'll survive without it.
Yeah, definitely.
Right, okay.
And,
Did you go see the blockbuster this week? The awesome, awesome, awesomeness of the awesomeness of the most awesome ever?
What was that?
The Three Stooges.
No, we didn't. We almost did, but we didn't.
Why not?
Not because we didn't want to. Let me just make that clear. It's not because we did not want to.
I'm going
to
boink you. Boink!
Right. Ow. But, No, because we went to go see an indie Christian film called Blue Like Jazz.
Blue Like Jazz. I read the book.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Miller. Donald Miller.
Sure. Whatever you say, man.
You haven't read the book?
No. I didn't know there was a book until after I watched the movie.
Oh, yeah. It's a great book. It's not really a story. It's just sort of him explaining how he came to the realization of what he needed, how he needed to address the culture. I didn't really think there wasn't really a story there. But is the movie have a plot and a storyline?
Yeah, sort of. Okay. It kind of followed the story of this kid grew up in the church and was part of the Christian subculture, spoke Christianese and all that sort of thing. And
right.
Something happened in the church he had the choice between going to Trinity Bible College or going to some really liberal
school.
Reed College.
Reed? Yeah, Reed.
Yeah.
That's it.
And so this,
it's like the worst one besides, oh, I forgot the other name of it. It's really a famous college. Anyway, go ahead.
Sure. And so, he had this choice between those two, and this really horrible thing that happened at church caused him to completely reject everything about the church and go off to Reed College, where he starts seeping himself in the culture there. And more and more as he goes on, he keeps having to address the issue of, does God exist and is God good? more and more until he finally decides that he is, and it's not and how the followers of God treat people is not, should not be a representation of who God is, because the followers of God are not perfect.
Right.
So, yeah,
it was a good book. I enjoyed it. It was, he's a good writer. The book that's actually better than that is called, Through the Painted Desert.
Through the Painted Desert.
Yep.
Okay.
It's actually better than that one.
Okay.
But it's a, you know, it's a liberal view of things. It's very not postmodern, but it's very modern, very, what the word am I looking for? Seeker friendly sort of attitude, you know, where he comes from. And sort of, let's just remove all impediments from non-Christians so they can really see what Christ looks like and get ourselves out of the way. And you know, that's his conclusion, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And but there's a whole chapter in there about penguin sex. And there's a and he professes his love to Andy DeFranco. And there's just,
I don't know who that is.
Oh, well, anyway. So she's
they did follow around the Pope of the school. Is that a character in the book?
The Pope of the school? No, I don't remember that.
Oh, okay. That was a pretty big part of the movie. What it was
it
that...
Maybe. I mean, it's been a few years since I read it. It just didn't stand out to me.
They essentially, at the end of the school year, the students would have like a huge party. By the end of, you know, throughout the entire school year, there would be this one guy who would wear a Pope hat and basically proselytize atheism throughout the entire school, and he was just like this huge joker and that sort of stuff. And at the end of the school year, he would hand down his joker hat onto the next person for the next school year, sort of thing. So that they had this running person.
He was probably representative of several characters in the book, but
sure.
But yeah, the party was in the book, and that's where they set up their little apology tent.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah and that's where that came in, because the main character was inducted to be the next year's Pope, and so people would come and confess to him, and he would stop them and say, "My turn first," and would apologize for being a Christian.
Right.
Yeah, which is kind of weird. Yeah. They used bad words in it.
Yeah, there was bad words in the book too. So it was, it's not your typical Christianese book. That's for sure.
No, it wasn't your typical Christianese movie either.
But it was good. Was the movie good?
It was put together very well, yeah. And it was funny in the places that were supposed to be funny. And
I'd like to see it.
Yeah, it's a very, very limited release. Hmm. We had to
go to Dallas to see it, huh?
Yeah. Well, we were able to be in Plano, but...
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, you missed... I'm glad you got to see that, but you missed a great, great movie. You got to go see it soon.
Oh, we're going to.
Now, I don't know if... Because I know you weren't born until like the last, I don't know, what was it, 3 or 4 years ago when you were born? When I was growing up, before school in the morning, we would get ready. We would hurry up and get ready. Mm-hmm. Before the bus would come pick us up, we could sit down and watch The Three Stooges in the morning before I went to school. Yeah, Channel 11 would show Three Stooges in the mornings. And so sometimes I'd get to eat my breakfast in there or whatever, but usually it just had to hurry up, eat my breakfast, hurry up, get ready, and go in there and watch Three Stooges before I got to go to school.
Of course.
So I grew up with a love of the Three Stooges. I thought they were awesome. And I've seen things like they came out with the Three Stooges cartoon, which really sucked.
Really?
Yes. And then after Curly died, they got another cousin of theirs or something. I don't know. Uh-huh. He might not even be related to them. I don't even know. But they got another guy to take Curly's place, and he was supposed to be very Curly-like. He was fat and bald, but he just, it wasn't the same. It just wasn't the same. Now, Shemp was before Curly, and he was fine. He was funny.
Okay.
Not as funny as Curly, but funny. And so I never minded watching the Shemp ones, but anything that didn't have Shemp or Curly in it, I was like, I'm not watching that. So then the Three Stooges actually made a movie before they stopped. I think one of them died, actually. But anyway, it didn't matter. Before they quit, they made a movie about traveling across country. And it was, you know, it was kind of funny, but it had that new guy in it, and he just wasn't as good. So I was very trepidatious. Is that the right word?
Yes.
I was very leery of going to see this movie, because I was like, but I watched some of the previews and I thought these guys seem to have it down. They seem to really have the essence of the Three Stooges down. And so I went in and the movie starts off when they're babies and then it goes to when they're kids, and that's okay. You know, they actually took the sound effects from the 40s.
Really?
And used them in this movie. They used the same clips, the same exact sound effects. They didn't try to mimic them. They actually used the original ones.
That's good.
Which really added a quality of it was really cool. But anyway, it's my dad beeping in on me. they did that, and then they were kids for a little while, and then they showed them as adults. And two minutes into them being adults, and I was like, okay, this is going to be good. This is going to be good. It's about 10 minutes into the movie before they're adults. But once they became adults, I was like, oh, these guys got it down. And they did. I mean, they had it, all of them. Larry had the funny accent that he always had. And Curly just was had the facial expressions and the sincerity and yet the silliness and the boinking and the physical humor was hilarious, and all the little extras that used to be in the Three Stooges, like all the names of things used to be really funny. You know, whenever they would go to a doctor's office, it would be like Duck and Hyde Doctor's Office, you know, or something. And,
oh, nice.
And it was, all that stuff was there and hilarious. And then one of the sisters, they were raised in a convent, and one of these sisters was actually a guy. I mean,
yeah.
And he was obviously a guy. Uh-huh. And, but there were no crude jokes. It was just hilarious because he was so masculine, you know.
Uh-huh.
And there was not a lot of crudeness. Now, the Modern Family, the Latino woman from the Modern Family, I think she's supposed to be from Colombia.
Sure.
And she, I don't know what her nationality really is, but anyway, she was in this movie. She was she was like the villain in the movie.
Uh-oh.
And she was great too. She was just as funny as she is in Modern Family. And, and there was some situational uncomfortable humor, but like at one point a rat ran down, because she has, I don't know if you've ever seen Modern Family, but she has unbelievable cleavage. It's just not right. It's just like, sorry, that's not appropriate. Well, and she's dressed the same way in this movie. So, but that's as far as it goes. And there's one point a mouse runs down in there. And, and that's about the extent of it. I mean, it's nothing you wouldn't see in a Disney movie, really. I mean, it wasn't really that bad. And there was no sexual scenes. There was, you thought there might be going to be one, but it didn't turn out to be. It was just, it was just because she was planning to, you know, I won't give any plot. I don't even. But anyway, there was setting up. There was almost like the setup scene where you thought, oh, I hope they don't go there. And they didn't. So it was like, oh, okay. the movie was hilariously funny. All the bits were there, all the slapstick humor, the ridiculous violence, the chainsaw up against a forehead, you know, all that was there, and just funny as all get out, and the one-liners were great, and the insults were hilarious, and it was, you know, and it was clean. There was no bad words or anything like that. There was the only thing that I thought was unnecessary, and the only thing that bordered on un-kid friendliness, besides the cleavage,
right,
was the very last scene. And I won't tell you why, but there's a nun in a bikini.
And yeah, when I was going to IMDb to look up who was in the movie, that was one of the pictures they had. So,
and I was like, that, and it was only a couple of seconds, and it was no situational. There was no sexual situational anything.
Sure,
it was just a nun in a bikini, and you're just like, it wasn't necessary, but it didn't make it. It wasn't un-kid friendly. I mean, it wasn't. There was no situational things to go along with it.
Sure.
In fact, the reason why she was a lifeguard. She was playing the part of a lifeguard at a pool. So,
still, lifeguards don't wear bikinis.
Well, anyway, so
they don't, Brad.
And she was only on scene for like two seconds, you know, and it was just like, oh, okay. I would say it was kids friendly and just funny as all get out. And I went and saw it by myself because actually for two reasons. My friend is a huge Three Stooges geek, and he wanted to go see it. And he didn't want to bring his family. He didn't want to go see it because his wife is completely not into Three Stooges. So he wanted to go see it with another fanboy like me. So I said, okay, I'll go with you. So we went. And the other thing was that I had heard, I don't know if they had done a really bad job of advertising the movie, but somebody else had told me that it was crude. I don't know if I want to go see it because I think it's got a lot of crude humor in it. Because it's the Farrelly brothers. It's the people who did Something About Mary.
Oh, I didn't see that one.
Okay, well, you don't need to. That one's not kids friendly, okay? And so I don't know if it's a combination of that or what it was, or just pictures of nuns in bikinis or something. I don't know. But he said, no, I think it's going to be crude. So anyway, I wanted to go see it by myself first, but I'm definitely taking Helen and Faith to see it. Because once I got back, I laughed about things in the movie the rest of the day. Just thinking of I would think of situations in my head and go, oh, that's hilarious.
You know, those are the best sort of funny movies.
Yes, yes. And there's so many things quotable in the movie. So many lines. It's kind of like Napoleon Dynamite. The more you think about it, the funnier it was.
Oh, I hated that movie.
Oh, it was the greatest movie ever. So
what?
Yes, Napoleon Dynamite was a genius.
No, it wasn't.
If you didn't get it, it's just because you didn't get it.
No, I understood every line of it. I didn't like it because it was too much like me.
Well, there you go. I guess I can't help you there.
Yeah.
Come get some ham, Tina. Sorry, so many lines in that movie too. So, so I can't wait for my wife to see it so that all these lines I'm quoting are funny to her too. So that's my review of Three Stooges on the Two Blind Squirrels.
Well,
and
awesome.
Blue Like Jazz and Hunger Games. So we've covered a lot of media topics today.
Oh yeah, totally.
And that's about all I got. I'm about done, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really have anything else either.
I'd like to talk about the secret rift in the modern Christian church, but I don't want to get into that right now.
I'll get into that if you want.
There is a rift in the modern church today.
Okay.
And I have heard it. Well, he wasn't talking with the guy where I got the title from it for it. What I'm calling it, he wasn't really talking about a rift in the church today. He was talking about something completely different. But I'm talking about Alexandrian thought versus Byzantine thought, let's just leave it there. Byzantine thought versus Alexandrian thought, and there's in the ancient world there were two schools.
Yes,
Byzantine and Alexandrian, and Alexandrian was very much a what do you want to say? That's where the library was. The Library at Alexandria. It was the worship of knowledge, basically, and just the accumulation of knowledge. It was very man based. It was very
Was that? Are you talking about the one where that caused the Council of Nicaea?
Yes.
Where the Alexandrians believed that Jesus was a man who became God.
Yes, that was one of the things that came out. What was only one of the heresies that came out of Alexandria?
Right.
There were many heresies that came out of Alexandria. They're even addressed in the Bible. It talks about if you look at when Alexandria is mentioned in the Bible, it's always negative, and Egypt is always negative.
Yeah.
So, and then the Byzantine, which is where Paul established several churches in that area. Mm-hmm. The big one was. Which one was it? Oh, I don't remember now. The church in Byzantine.
Yeah.
It was became Constantinople. Anyway.
Istanbul?
Yeah, same place. But that wasn't the church. The church wasn't Corinth. No, that was the other direction. What was the church in Byzantine that he established?
Oh, I don't know.
Anyway, it was positive. That was a positive church, and it was where Paul actually started his mission and where he was sent on missions out of. It was where when they left Jerusalem to go talk to Paul, that's where
Antioch?
He was. Antioch, thank you.
Aha.
Antioch. Yes, yay.
Yes. Those decades of being in church has paid off.
So, yes, the Antioch church this preacher was making the point that every time the Antioch church is mentioned, it's always positive. And I don't know if that's I haven't looked to make sure that's all true, but the
sure.
But the idea of this school, this Byzantine school, where knowledge and wisdom come from the Lord, a very spiritual view, a very spiritual. And there were two teachers that came out of these two different churches too. Alexandria was what was his name? I don't know. I wasn't really prepared to do this, but there was a famous teacher that came out of Alexandria that taught this heresy that you're talking about, and there was a famous teacher that came out of Byzantine that preached against it.
Yes.
And preached and defended the Trinity and boldly preached and boldly stood up for the things of God and boldly taught basically what I call a true epistemology. Okay.
All right.
Which is how we know what we know.
Sure.
Right. Or the study of knowing, I guess, however you want to put it. Whereas the Alexandrians have always been sort of the Alexandrian thinking has a weak, I would call a, I don't think they would describe it that way, but a weak epistemology. In other words, how do you know what you know? You don't really know what you know. There's a lot of stuff going on.
You know? Okay.
And well, anyway, this goes down and goes to the two different Bibles that we have today. We have a Byzantine Bible and we have an Alexandrian Bible.
Uh-huh.
And the difference between those two is the Bible that puts the Byzantine Byzantine manuscripts as the better manuscripts or more reliable manuscripts.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other Bible is based on the Alexandrian manuscripts being the superior manuscripts. Okay, those are the two Bibles that we have today. If any Bible that you pick up is either going to weigh the Byzantine manuscripts heavier or the Alexandrian manuscripts heavier.
Right.
Okay. So, and I think this comes down, I think the school of thought leads down to two schools of thought that I encounter on the internet all the time that make me crazy. And I think it's a rift in our church today. I think it's a watershed issue that comes down one of two sides. You're either boldly going to proclaim the truths of the Lord, the truths that are in the Bible, you're boldly going to proclaim them, not because you know them, not because I know them, not because I know that the world is only 6,000 years old, or the other because I know that evolution is false. It's not something I know. Uh-huh. It's based on what the Lord has taught. It's based on what the Lord has revealed in His Word, and that is that He created the earth and He knows how He did it.
Yes,
and He, and what was it? Was another one that any time that you start proclaiming this, like even if you say the word of the Lord is infallible, you end up in arguments with Christians, not with atheists.
Yeah, right.
You end up with arguments with Christians saying you can't say that. That just you're being arrogant. You're teaching. You think that you know more than everybody else. You know, no. I'm going to stand on the word of the Lord. Mm-hmm. I'm going to stand on what He says and what He has proclaimed, and I'm going to boldly proclaim it. And the riff that I sense in the church is this need to back off of that boldly proclaiming, that Acts 4 mentality where the church prayed for boldness after they'd gotten stoned, you know, beaten for preaching. And I'm like, no, I think that we need to be bold. We need to speak up. I mean, the time for timidness is over. While the other side is preaching to our children that evolution is a fact, when the secular scientists don't even believe that, but they're teaching it as a philosophy. They're teaching it as fact and proclaiming the philosophy in our schools. But I end up in arguments I don't end up in arguments with atheists. I mean, I have had discussions with atheists, and I have held my ground, and those discussions have been, quite frankly, very civil. But whenever I even post a quote from somebody, I end up in arguments with Christians telling me I'm being arrogant.
I've noticed that. That's your Facebook page.
And maybe I am arrogant. Maybe I am arrogant, okay? And that may be true. And I've really tried to examine myself and analyze this, and maybe I am.
I think you're fine.
But I sense a rift in the church where people think, our modern culture thinks we need to be friends.
Yes.
With the outside world.
Yeah.
And I don't disagree with some of the things that they say. For instance, I don't think we should put impediments against other Christians in front of them. to believe. They don't have to believe in Genesis that the Lord created the world in 6 24-hour days to become a Christian. Right. They do not have to believe that.
Sure.
That doesn't mean we shouldn't proclaim it.
Yeah, right.
It doesn't mean we shouldn't stand on that truth.
Mm-hmm.
It just means they don't have to believe that to become a Christian, and we shouldn't throw it in their face when they're asking us about the gospel.
Yeah,
and, I agree. And we should treat them with love and kindness because and value, and we shouldn't, even though they are fools, if they don't believe in a God, because the Bible tells us a fool says in his heart, there is no God.
Mm-hmm.
But we shouldn't treat them as fools. That we are always told in the Bible not to treat them as fools, but to treat them as valuable creatures that God has created and we are supposed to, you know, show love towards. And but it also says we should not be yoked with unbelievers. We should not be their friends. We should not be in a relationship with these people that indebts ourselves to them in any way, whether that's emotionally or in any relational way. That doesn't mean we're not kind to them. It doesn't mean we're not loving towards them. It means we don't have to be their friend. We shouldn't be their friend in a sense that you're entering into a relationship with them because it teaches that the Bible clearly teaches we're not supposed to be doing that.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't. People say, well, Jesus hung out with the prostitutes and the worst of the worst. I'm like, okay, yes. I don't say hang out. He preached to them.
Uh-huh.
He treated them with love and respect and told them that there was good news.
Uh-huh.
But whenever he always said, go and sin no more.
Yeah.
I mean, this wasn't, he didn't. And yes, he loved us when we were still prostitutes and worse. Yes, he loved me when I was worst of the worst. But he is not leaving me in that state.
Right.
And Jesus did not call the disciples friends until he had led them and taught them and said, now I no longer call you my servants, I call you friends.
Yeah.
And because they had accepted his teaching and they were his disciples, you know. And one ultimately betrayed him. One rejected him and betrayed him. But
yep.
So yep. That's what I sense going on in the church. That's what I encounter on the internet. I encounter whenever I take a stand, not on something that necessarily I've figured out, but something in the Bible, something that is in conflict with the culture, I get attacked by other Christians.
Uh-huh. I hear you.
For being unloving towards non-believers, which they're not the ones complaining.
Yeah, right. Well, here's a fun fact. So I have been listening to this podcast called The History of Rome. And so that's how I knew about the whole Alexandrian versus Antioch and that sort of thing.
Yes.
And part of the reason why Constantine called the Council of Nicaea was because he wanted to unite the Christian church into one big church that he could be like, that he could say, I helped with this, and yay, now I have everyone, all the big Christian church behind me so that the pagans won't try to keep paganism as the primary religion of Rome anymore. And so he was thinking, oh, well, you know, if we can just if everyone can just compromise on both sides as far as, okay, you give a little bit here and you give a little bit here and we'll all come happy and fine down in the middle, he figured, hey, if we can all just come to that, everything will be fine. But he didn't realize that, you know, you can't compromise on religion like that. So it was horribly messy and the Alexandrians were deemed heretical, but that kept coming back so that like the next several hundred years it'd be like this emperor favored this side and so they'd put these bishops into place, but this emperor then favored this side and would banish those bishops and raise their own bishops into place and all sorts of crazy stuff.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So fun fact for you there.
Thank you.
Yeah,
I love history.
Oh yes. Oh yeah.
I took a class on church history that was really, really good. It was done, what's the guy's name? I forgot what his name now was. Anyway, he was at a Bethel.
Yeah.
Anyway, it was great. It was a great class all about, I just stepped from the beginnings of the church in Acts all the way through to I don't know where he stopped now, but it was basically it kind of explained where all the different denominations came from. And
oh, nice.
But it was very thorough. It was a very long class.
They have 36 classes hours like that on iTunes U.
Yeah, that's where I got it. That's where I got it. Yeah, that's where I didn't, when I say take it, I audited it on iTunes U.
Okay.
And
I am subscribed to that. I just haven't finished listening to the classes yet.
Last time I looked, I don't think that one was there anymore. The actual one I took, but it was 36 hours long. It was very long.
Wow.
And it was very thorough, but he was very good.
Nice.
I think I still have them. If you're interested, I can get them to you.
Okay.
But anywho.
Yes.
So there you go. Your history lesson and my my rant about riffs.
I like it. Well, anyway, Buford should be getting here soon, I think.
Buford's here?
Well, he said he was bringing me some goats.
Oh, that's right. Well, yeah, but hey, you know how slow his truck is, so don't hold
that's it. True.
Just leave the porch light on for him. He'll be all right.
Will do. I'll do that.
All right, kids. Well, thanks for joining me tonight. Listening to me rant and everything.
Good times.
Good times. Tell your wife I hope she gets to feeling better soon.
I will.
Tell her to wait till she's better before she starts painting. I don't want all those chemicals mixing with those antibiotics. It's not good.
That is a good point. I bet she hasn't thought of that yet.
Yeah, don't want to weaken the immune system while she's trying to recover.
Indeed. I will point that out to her.
Thank you.
Not a problem.
All right, go see the Three Stooges.
Yep.
And hey, why don't you text me this week if you find another movie you want to go see? Maybe I'll try to go see it too, and we'll have something to talk about together next week.
Oh, okay. I think we're going to spend some time outside this weekend.
Okay, that's a good idea too.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful weekend for it.
Mm-hmm.
Plant
hopefully.
Some flowers, pull some weeds.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Well, vayos con Dios, everyone.
Vayos con Dios. Psst.
Two Blind Squirrels is a proud member of My Life Ministries, a community of believers that views the everyday Christian life as a ministry and seeks to encourage Christians in their daily walk with Christ. For more information, please visit mylifeministries.org.
I get tired of hearing myself talk when I go off like that. Ugh.